there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Great to be with you, Leanne. It's beautiful on campus, and October is my favorite month on a college campus.
It's been a busy semester here at Morehead State, and we're finally in the home stretch of a very different looking fall semester. Let's talk a little bit about how the students and, of course, the faculty and staff are holding up in the middle of this global pandemic.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, October is literally almost the halfway mark of a traditional semester. And we modified this fall semester just slightly by shaving off the final roughly week and a half after Thanksgiving. And I'm glad we did that because it was a strategic move. But what we're seeing right now is about 5 weeks to go, that traditional mid-semester student, faculty, staff strain. We see it every fall. It's probably a little exacerbated with COVID-19 and some of the frustrations of upending life in a pandemic. But I think overall, our students are doing well. I've been popping in and out of a couple of classes just virtually, and actually I've been to one or two in person just to chat with students. You can see a little bit of weariness on their face, that mid-semester weariness, plus a little bit. But overall, I think our campus is moving along quite well. 5 weeks to go and we can do it.
Now, as we've said many times before since this all began, we're in an unprecedented time in the world. And Morehead State isn't really isolated completely from the impact, but in some ways, the location of Morehead State and the isolation that the small town kind of provides has been to Morehead State's advantage.
I think you're exactly right. From my perspective, you couldn't find a more perfect placement for Morehead State University in general, but also during COVID-19. And I'll give you some examples, at least that I see. Number one, we're a beautiful small town, small residential, medium-sized campus. We have students who live and learn on our campus. We're about an hour outside Lexington, a major city in the Commonwealth, which is close enough to get there and close enough for students to want to come here, but it's far enough away that sometimes we don't have the frustrations of a larger city. So to me, it's a little bit of a benefit on both sides of the coin. And when you look at our community and particularly our campus, our number of COVID cases on campus is not only been relatively small, but it's been stable week over week. We post them online every roughly 3 or 4 days in 3 or 4 day windows. And as a part of that, if you went to our website and looked at them, you'll see we're averaging just a couple a week and it's pretty steady. So that tells me there's no large flare-ups on campus. We've almost had the best of all worlds here, all things considered.
I think that, we've discussed in the past the resiliency of these students. If you were around campus at all, students are walking around outside, even when they're further than 6 foot apart, they still have their mask on. It's become the new way of life. It's the new normal. And it seems that they've adjusted really well. And I'm still a little surprised by that. I know I shouldn't be because our students are always remarkable, but they've adapted so well and they've kind of tried to continue life as normal as possible at this point.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head that our students have been very resilient. You know, at the beginning of this fall semester, honestly, we did not know what to think. And I don't think anybody in the world knew what to think. And we actually had a lot of naysayers locally and even far and wide saying, you know, the colleges just can't do it. Well, we have proven them wrong, completely wrong. And I can't speak enough or say enough good things about our students. They are wearing masks. I'm sure they don't want to do it, but they are. And it's almost become a team culture. Our faculty, our staff, our students have all been on seemingly one team, and that's to make our semester as safe as possible. And I am very pleased from that measure that this has run a whole lot better than what we thought it would, Lee.
Something that I wanted to touch on is the innovation that our students are coming up with completely on their own. I had a student come to me last week and say, you know, I love working with you here at the radio station, but I have this opportunity next semester to take an internship in a different state. And she plans to still attend Morehead State University in the spring semester, doing virtual classes, but be living somewhere completely different and doing an internship experience with a news organization. And it's kind of, that's something that when I was an undergrad, I couldn't have considered because there weren't enough online classes for me to continue full time. And I think that it's this outside of the box thinking that our students are coming up with, and also our faculty and staff members are coming up with, in order to go, hey, we're in this situation. It's not ideal, but let's capitalize on it.
Exactly. I see the same thing. I probably don't visit with students as much as you do because you've got them coming, you know, in and outside of your unit quite a bit. But I do get out and visit with them quite often, and faculty and staff, and I see the exact same thing. Almost want to, you know, use the cliche. I think our students, our faculty, and our staff realize our whole campus was in a tough spot, just like the rest of the world. And it's almost like they're making lemonade out of lemons. Mm-hmm. And they know it was a bad thing. We've had a lot of frustration. It's upended people's lives, but it's really brought out some creative activities. And just what you said, you know, our quality enhancement plan is centered around student experiences with service learning, internships, undergraduate research, study abroad, et cetera. The one thing that we're probably seeing a little bit of a stumbling block in is study abroad. We're just probably not going to do much of that, at least for the short run. Life will return to normal. But related to internships, we are seeing students doing virtual internships with companies. Students have told me that companies are going to hire them for an internship, but they're going to stay here in Morehead to complete the internship. And you can do that in the world of work today, just like, you know, our employees are doing. Many of them are working part at home, part here on campus, all over the place. Students are learning to do that as well. I have seen students out doing service learning activities around small groups outside. They've been very much focused outside. And I've also seen some undergraduate research going on among clubs and organizations are finding creative ways to meet virtually, chat rooms, WebEx, Zoom. And one of the things that we really prize here on campus is that student experience. And our folks are finding great ways to turn lemon into lemonade on.
I think the pandemic is going to force all organizations, all businesses to adapt very quickly to a new normal. They're doing a lot more virtual work from wherever, be it home or in a shared office space. But I think that, you know, an organization that may have had everyone come in at one time is suddenly like, hey, we don't need this building at all.
That's right.
And but that changes the bottom line. I mean, that completely changes the cost for the business. They're able to be more profitable. And we're seeing our students adapt to that now, which will definitely be beneficial for them once they move into the workforce.
I think it will make a much smoother transition for the world of work now, because you're right. Students will be accustomed to maybe taking half a class in person, the other half, you know, virtual or through distance education methods. So I think our students have adapted well. They come to us very technologically oriented in general, and to some degree, they're probably ahead of the pack.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
American voters will finally get to choose who they want in the White House.
I'm running as a proud Democrat, but I will govern as an American president.
Get out and vote.
And an anxious nation awaits the results of critical contests around the country. Join us Tuesday night for NPR's special live coverage of Election Night 2020 from NPR News.
Tuesday, November 3rd, beginning at 7 p.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan. Thanks again for being on the show.
Great. Thanks, Leanne.
There's a lot going on at Morehead State University. As always, it's a very busy time. The Board of Regents met recently for a work session and had a meeting to kind of go over some of the business of the university. Oftentimes, we're so caught up in the day-to-day activities that we don't think about the bigger picture. But the group was able to receive an audit report for the 2019-20 audits, which included the spring semester when the pandemic hit. So a lot of things, I imagine, looked a lot differently than in previous audits. So tell me a little bit about that and where the university stands on a financial footing right now.
Sure. Thanks, Leanne. Our Board of Regents does meet, as you know, periodically, and our most recent meeting was our fall audit committee meeting. The audit committee heard the fiscal year ending 2020 audit, and I guess the two words I would toss in as kind of a summary is no issues, and that's always pleasing to hear, knowing that you were right in the middle of a pandemic that final quarter of the last fiscal year. But we were very pleased to hear that our external auditors had no concerns with our finances from last year. It was a very clean audit, which we're very thankful for. And actually, if you were able to attend the audit committee meeting, toward the end of it, the lead external auditor said he was very pleased with how our finances looked. And as a part of that, he really praised the university that over the past couple of years, we've been able to kind of rebuild some of our financial standing. He was very pleased to see that over the past 2 to 3 years. So I smiled a little bit at the end of that audit committee meeting, knowing, number one, we had a clean audit from last year, but number two, that an external group was praising us for some financial improvement. I would also summarize by saying that our budget last year ended okay, all things considered. We were able to claw back enough funds and restructure enough funds to where we would not be at a net loss. Actually, our financial position improved a little bit last year, which is unlike many universities, and I'm thankful for that. So through a lot of hard work, I think we've been able to obtain a very financially stable budget. Seems like that is holding this year as well. We've done very well, even with the 8% cut from the state, or at least the prospective 8% cut from the state. So right now we're doing well, and keep all of our fingers crossed for the rest of this year, but it looks like we're poised to have a very stable year again.
Now, that was actually bringing me to my next question. Like all universities in the Commonwealth, MSU had to make some tough choices in order to make allocations for that expected 8% budget cut, which was the state was the one who said, hey, this needs to happen. 8% of the budget was reduced here at Morehead State without laying off full-time employees or making decisions that really impacted students directly. Are those changes going to impact any of the classes at all in the upcoming winter session or in the spring semester? I didn't know that if long-term those budgets were going to start to kind of trickle down to affect students.
Sure. You know, the 8% state appropriation prospective cut, the money has not been extracted yet, but we've been asked to put a plan together, and we have done that and submitted it to the state budget office. As a part of that, we do not expect this current academic year a reduction in any academic classes at this point in time, because we were able to capture a lot of that needed savings, albeit one-time savings this current year, through some overages in tuition. We had a pretty good year, or a pretty good fall semester for tuition, actually exceeded our expectations a little bit. We were really prepared for a worst case scenario. We had some savings in some other categories. We've been able to pay down a little debt, so we've had some savings there. So I do not expect any reduction or interruption in winter term courses for our students or spring term. It seems like, you know, when you look at the number of sections for winter term and in spring, they look like, at least at this point, they're trending about where prior ones are. I'm sure there will be a little bit of fluctuation along the way, but I think we're going to be in pretty good shape the rest of this year.
Now, before all this change happened, you had talked about starting to kind of rebuild the faculty here. I know that hiring new faculty is kind of on hold for right now, hiring anybody, but is that your hope to maybe be able to look at doing that in the future?
It is. You know, we have taken an extremely cautious approach since last March when COVID really came to town, so to say, on not bringing on a whole lot of new people. Our theory or our philosophy was, let's take care of who we have here now before we bring on new individuals. Probably starting around September of this year, so just a month or so ago, we really started feeling like, okay, looks like we're going to be good through this. And we have looked at very few selective positions to bring on. But to your point about faculty, yes, back in March, we did put quite a hard brake on hiring a number of new faculty who would have been slated to begin this fall semester. And we did so because of the uncertainty. We did not know if we were going to have a drop in student enrollment of 0% or if it was going to be a drop of 20%. I don't think anybody in the United States knew. So we wanted to be very cautious. Fast forward to today, we were able to cover all of our fall classes. We did a good job with placement. We did have to utilize a couple of extra adjuncts in a couple of our big core key areas, but I'm hopeful that that's short term. And we've actually started working with our provost and some of our deans to try to get back in the cycle of hiring a couple of new faculty members who would start in the fall of 2021. We may bring just a few on for January 1 of 2021 to help us in the spring. But I feel like we're kind of slowly clawing our way back to normal. At least that's the way it feels right now.
Right. And I mean, everybody in the world right now is kind of trying to anticipate all the possibilities, all the what ifs that could happen. Now, one of the things that was a big change for this fall semester is the fact that we weren't able to host our usual homecoming celebrations. Normally at the beginning of October, everybody's rolling into town. You get to see people that haven't been on campus in a while. There's tons of activities throughout the week of homecoming. And this year it was held virtually, which is the first time that's ever been done.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the response that was received from that virtual online homecoming.
Well, I think the general response is, I believe most people understood. I will say it was a big disappointment not to be able to have that live homecoming. The weather that weekend was beautiful. The leaves were falling. The leaves were turning colors here around campus. It would have made the perfect weather for homecoming. And literally, I got up that Saturday morning of what normally would be in-person homecoming and walked outside, and I thought, this is perfect homecoming weather. And then I turned around, went right back inside, and got on a homecoming virtual meeting. And while I've enjoyed visiting with quite a number of our alumni through a couple of virtual meetings, it just did not feel the same. And I think people acknowledge that. I believe they were understanding. A lot of our alumni would not have wanted to travel anyway. Even to see friends and old associates and classmates. So a little disappointing, but we're going to pick ourselves up next year. And if the environment is better, we'll try to double what we normally do for next year's homecoming, if it's safe to do so. So a little disappointing for homecoming, but our alumni and development staff did a good job with some student affairs staff of trying to pull some virtual activities together. And again, we tried to make some lemonade out of lemons.
And we just got a couple minutes left here on Open Mic, and I wanted to touch base really quickly about dates that are upcoming in the MSU calendar. You said before that the fall semester is going to end a little early. We're going to be out of here right before Thanksgiving. And then pretty quickly after that, we're going to have winter sessions, which begin. Now, those, I assume, are going to be mostly online courses?
That is correct. Our scheduling for students for not only winter term, but spring term as well. Spring semester will start with advanced registration around November the 4th. That's pretty traditional for us, so students are accustomed to that. We're going to end our fall semester on November the 24th. That's right before the Thanksgiving holidays. We're going to let students go home, visit with friends and family, and not bring them back after Thanksgiving like we normally would. So we're going to be able to end on November the 24th. We probably will still have a very small handful of international students staying here on campus during the break. They just cannot safely return home. So we'll probably house a very small number of international students. We'll take very good care of them. Two winter terms will run between right around the 1st of December all the way to about January the 8th. So students will have the opportunity to take online classes and even a hybrid class in there if they want to. And then we're going to start the spring semester on January the 19th. And we normally would start about the 11th. But as you know, that's, you know, students are going to be traveling for the Christmas holidays. They're going to be traveling and around people for New Year's Eve. And we wanted to provide about a 14-day break between January 1 and when we would bring students back, just to alleviate, you know, some COVID-19 issues of people returning back to campus. So we look forward to getting our students back and started on January the 19th. And we're going to have another successful spring semester. I know we can do it.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Morehead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan, thanks again for being here.
Great to be with you, Leanne. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.